Welcome to the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women and men worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect to discuss enriched conversations about life, skills, and self-development. Once again, my name is Sandra Mendes, and I am the host on the Natural Radio Show. For those who have been keeping up with me, my followers, you know that I am doing a book review on The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Women by Michael Porter. And for those who are listening new on the show, you will know that I'm reading this book, and I'm reading it on a chapter base. However, today I am going to be doing something a little different as far as reading a different selection from a part. So all of this time I've been reading from part one, from chapters 1 to 5, and now I am going to skip a few chapters from part one, and I'm going to move along to part two. I did request that those who started from the beginning and listening to the show to get your book on The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Women by Michael Porter. And, you know, you could have read along with me, or you can read it at your own pace and time when you have the chance to read it in its entirety. It is a good selection, and I'm going to go over the back of the book selection, so that way for the newcomers, you can understand who Michael Porter is and what this book is about. So Michael Porter, is an author of bestseller Kill Them Before They Grow, Misdiagnosed of African American Boys in American Classrooms, is a counselor at Savannah State University, and began his professional career as an educational therapist. He has worked as a child and family therapist for a state of Georgia mental health agency, and a youth advocate for at-risk youth, and 5 years as an emotional behavior disorder teacher in the Georgia public school system. He operates Balanced Life Consultation Services, a conflict resolution services for parents and children. So Michael Porter holds a Master of Education in Counseling. So this young man, gentleman, he's into the therapist field, and he has done a lot of studies with families, men, women, and children, so that way you can know that he do have his credentials. What this book in specifically is, The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Women. These are the questions that come to mind. Are civil rights organizations and the church infested with sexism? Why is the black community and its leaders silent from rape and wife abuse? What are so many male rappers trying to convey in their music about women? And how have some African American women struggled against racism and sexism? Is the future of the race in the hands of black mothers? Or what are the challenges facing black women in finding a good black man? So for those who are wondering how much the book costs, the book is going for $14.95 in US dollars. And if you are in the Canadian area, it is $22.95. Okay, so we're gonna start by gonna be skipping to part two, chapter four, and it's about the myth of the ugly body. So who are those glamorous queens in size 2 jeans, making me look in the mirror and hate what I see, making me eat rice cakes and whatever it takes to be like those glamour queens in a size 2 jeans? This is excerpted from Natalie Gottlieb's Glamour Queens in Size 2 Jeans. She thinks her brown body has no glory. If she could dance naked under palm trees and see her image in the river, she would know. Wearing cunnies, no images. The worst form of female crucifixion is self-hate. Every woman in America is a victim of a white male self-hate, instilling socialization. From the cradle to the grave, American and many other Western women are taught to be displeased with their weight or skin color or hair texture or hair length or breast size or eyes color or nose and lip size. The black looks, race, and representation author Bell Hooks describes how loving blackness is a hazardous in a white supremacist culture, to the point where death is the punishment. While teaching the course on black women writers, she says that it became painfully obvious by the lack of response that this group of diverse students, many of them black people, were more interested in discussing the desire of black folks to be white, indeed were fixated on the issue. Hooks mentioned that white supremacists had impacted African Americans so much that we often find it difficult to discuss loving blackness. From an early age, females are socialized through a demonic marketing concept to create in their minds the ideal female image and then spend the rest of their lives trying to transform themselves into the ideal image. These female victims embark on a frustrating and sometimes deadly journey that put them at the mercy of fads, gimmicks, con artists, and guinea pigism, all of which make money off of women and provide only temporary satisfaction, if any. Early on, business leaders realized that in order to make people want things they had never previously desired, they had to create the dissatisfied consumer. The key to economic prosperity is the organized creation of dissatisfaction. The above statement reveals much about the rationale behind the madness that affects and affects all of America and much of the world. No longer content to create dissatisfaction with competing products, marketing now seeks to make people dissatisfied with themselves. This is especially true of women. The psychological and emotional state of such marketing induces self-dissatisfaction before leading to self-hate, changes in persons into a thing. The immortal white male supremacist ruler have created a self-hate instilling marketing scheme that has transformed women into products seeking the ultimate product, the ideal physical female body. Although all women in America are victims of this self-dissatisfaction to some degree, it is necessary to separately explain the effects of this madness on African-American women and white women, the two historical players on this tragic stage. African-American women were victims of white male supremacist instilled self-hate long before the 1920s. The African women's body was used as a public restroom by white men. She was simultaneously despised, lusted after, and raped by white men. Although her black skin and full figure were historical symbols of beauty, she was placed in the non-human category by racist power holders who nonetheless desired her and used her for sexual entertainment. What one must realize is that the African American woman was never a standard of beauty in American society. The instilling of self-hate for the African American women began in the holds of Western slave ships. The luxuriousness of her full lips, the voluptuousness of her full figure, the richness of her dark eyes, and the delightful texture of her hair were purposely degraded and made ugly. The patriarchal white male society queen Latifah says, "I'm about being healthy, and according to my doctor, I can be healthy at 200 pounds. And you know, when you're healthy, you don't have to go on some crash diet, drink Slim Fast every day, and go crazy to lose weight. I'm not for that. I'm about feeling good at whatever size I am." Keeping in mind that everyone cannot have and should not have the same weight, it is important to note that if African American women are to obtain, maintain their health, which is crucial, they must be mindful of their weight. Obesity is rising among all minorities, but one of the most mysterious health statistics to emerge from a decade worth of research conducted at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows that weight gain is most likely among Black women between the ages of 25 and 34. Indeed, at every age, Black women are significantly more likely to be obese than any other group. Obesity carries with it a variety of deadly diseases such as type 2 diabetes, hypertension, stroke, heart disease. Although the cause of obesity among African American women in their prime years is unknown, researchers generally point to diet as the reason. It is common for many African American, both female and male, to eat a meal consisting of rice, red or white, potato salad, macaroni and cheese, several pieces of fried meat, only one serving of vegetable, and a slice of cake or pie. Although these meals are delicious, trust me, I was reared on these meals. They can be deadly if they are overindulging. The quality of what is eaten is sometimes overlooked as people tend to focus on taste and quantity. It is easy to eat a great deal of nothing. For instance, a pregnant woman may eat large portions of food daily, but the child can end up undernourished because the food consumed by the mother lacks nutritive value. The result, and this is interesting, can be obesity in the unborn child's later years. Many physicians and other health specialists also point to the role of diet in preventing breast and uterine fibroids tumors. Risk factors that contribute to fibroid development include the use of high estrogen, birth control pills, estrogen replacement therapy, and postmenopausal women with pre-existing fibroids, obesity, family history, B vitamin deficiency, significant emotional or physical stress, and diet characterized by excessive alcohol, fat, red meat, dairy products, chocolate, and sugar, according to Lark. Both breast and uterine fibroids mainly affect females between the ages of 20 and 50. I am personally amazed and frightened by the large number of women in their early 20s who have or had uterine fibroid tumors. The necessity of eating nutritiously and exercising regularly is quite evident. I remember commenting to a female relative about her, commenting to a female relative about her eating habits and weight gain. Her response to me was, "My husband like it." She was being defensive, but I knew that she was concerned. Women must be healthy for themselves and their young children, not for Mr. Wright, because only about 10% of African American men ages 20 to 44 are overweight. Eating nutritiously is a matter of life and death. Even stress is alleviated through exercise and nutritious eating. Women must maintain excellent health if they are to be successful in fighting patriarchal white supremacy. And remember, white supremacy attacks is both physical and psychological, with especially devastating impacts on African American women. For more than two centuries, the African American woman has been vitiated by the white male power structure. So who became the standard of beauty of African American women? White women. Television, printed media, classroom textbooks, and the Bible Eurocentric versions have for centuries presented white women as angelic beauties and damsels in distress. White women were the fair maidens placed on a pedestal for all to worship and adore. Long straight hair, tiny nose, thin lips, a light colored eyes became the ideal female image in the minds of many oppressed, miseducated African American women and men. While white women are being elevated to the heights of goddess, African American women were simultaneously denigrated. As a result of white supremacist oppression and miseducation, light-complexioned African-American women became pretty, and dark-complexioned sisters became ugly. Black women with long straight hair and light complexions were standards of beauty in most, if not all, African-American communities. Many African-American women used skin-bleaching creams and hair-straightening products in the sad attempt to come as close as possible in physical appearance to white women. As time progressed, wearing blue contact lens, dyeing dark hair blonde, and for those who could afford it, undergoing plastic surgery was added to the African-American women list of whom to become a white woman. Still today, the voluptuous figure, sensuously full lips, and lovely hair texture of African-American women are ignored and downplayed by the white-owned and operated electronic and print media. African-Americans must take control of representing our image and stop expecting whites to positively present us to the world. The more black women run away from their African selves to a non-African self, the greater the likelihood of acquiring destructive beliefs and behaviors. When I worked as an educational therapist for a private psychiatric hospital, I attended a seminar on eating disorder, anorexia, nervosa, and bulimia. The psychiatrist conducted the workshop stated that there were no documented cases of African American and Latino women with eating disorders. This was during the early 80s. If you research the number of African American women suffering from eating disorders today, you would be amazed. Clearly, African American women are imitating white women to death. Let us now examine white women. White women have been tossed from one extreme to the other by a patriarchal white male power structure. She was once the flawless beauty, but has now become a conditional beauty, the condition being that of thinness and a willingness to have her body surgically altered. White male power holders forms and reforms the white woman's body in accordance to profit they wish to accrue. The desirability of white women has gone from fullness of Marilyn Monroe to the current emaciated anorexic. White women are conditioned to undergo cosmetic surgery and to receive silicone injections more than any other women. White men decide how white women should look, and through their media, they instruct white women to change their bodies. Many white women are literally dying to please white men, from cradle to grave. White women are pressured into becoming a Barbie doll or the latest very thin entertainment attraction. Judging from media depiction, the white male power structure currently prefers pencil-thin white women with large breasts. As long as white women shape themselves into the images created by emotional code, insecure, greedy, white male power holders, they will suffer. Schizophrenic and sadistic white males have seduced white women into twisted games of Simon Says. The image of the ugly body will forever torment American women as long as they allow themselves to be duped by the madness and marketing of the patriarchal white male power structure. Women are not automobiles whose bodies conform to the stroke of a designer pencil and then put on a display for potential buyers to. Women must cease the destructive and unnecessary diet, skin bleaching, skin tanning, plastic surgery, silicone injections and starvation that they have been programmed to put themselves through, or they will self-destruct. Again, women must realize that their marketing-induced self-hatred is profitable for white male power structure. If someone wants to become the myth that exists in his mind, you can only satisfy the person by discontinuing to exist, because myths are function. In other words, you must cease living in order to satisfy the myth holder. So once again, this was chapter 4 from part 2, The Myth of the Ugly Body. And here it is that Michael Porter went through a step-in process regarding the image of both so-called black women, African-American women, and white women in general. He talked about the differentiation of the two and which one is more put on a pedestal, and the one who is degraded. And then amongst the degraded, he explained the discord in between the two, from being light skinned to dark skinned, you know, however way, just being in that range, that mid-range, and how it just equated to being degraded. So denigrated, excuse me. So I just wanted to highlight that when it comes down to people's image and beauty, it's a saying that they say, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And I feel a lot of times that when you are a woman, and this is for women specifically, you have to realize that you are made in the image of the Most High. You are. And that you have to realize that when I say that you made in the image of the Most High, I don't mean that from a literal standpoint. What I mean from that is that you came from a woman's womb. And just the whole process of a woman being able to create a baby in her womb is a miracle. And this is why I'm saying that even in the biological system and reproduction system, that the Most High is in that. So this is why I'm saying that you were made in the image of the Most High, and the Most High knew how you were going to be when you came forth into this world. Now, experiences, how we were raised, it kind of conditioned how we would be. But one thing that will never ever change about you as women is that your heart and who you are and who you raised to be. Sometimes your heart can be altered and because of so many experiences, decisions made throughout life and things of that sort. But who you were meant to be, as far as a purpose, if you have a calling on your life, you know, they said, how they say in the Bible that all are all are basically selected. I don't know the same from verbatim, but only few are chosen. If you are a chosen person and you have a purpose, and just in general, people that have a purpose, but if you have a special type of purpose, no matter what you go through, or no matter what adversary or whatever is up against you, you're going to live out what you was here meant to be, especially when you are awakened and you know who and what you are. There's no stopping you, okay? I don't care if there's no amount of hell on earth that's going to stop you. Okay? And just know that when you are awakened as a woman, that the Most High is watching over you and protecting you from any adversity, excuse me. Okay? Especially when you are chosen. Okay, and then generally speaking, when it comes down to just women in general, you have a purpose, and your purpose here in this life is to give life. You have to understand the dynamics. You're gonna have to go through the dynamics of being a girl, to being a teenager, to being a woman, and to learning what it's like to give life. Okay, to be a mother, to go through different transitions. You are meant and metaphorically to be a butterfly woman. You are. It doesn't matter which what caliber you come from as far as being black, white, Latino, or whatever type of race you come from. This is what your purpose is here to be significantly. Okay? And this is what needs to be acknowledged, because women give life. We give life. And guess what? The Most High at the end of the day decides whether life will be taken away. This is how women are linked to the Most High in a unique way. And I don't mean to disregard men, because men are the glue to making it happen. Okay? The men are meant to ejaculate their seed into the woman and for her to give birth. So it's almost as if without the man, how could the woman give birth or give life? So it goes hand in hand. A man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. So I'm not saying this broadcast as to be a sexist and just talking about women. I just want to highlight their gift. You know, and especially when a man is in his right state of mind and a woman is in her right state of mind, and they come together and bring forth a child, a baby, they bring forth a child with purpose, okay, and not on purpose. And when I say on purpose, where people just come together out of lust, okay, and yes, that child, whether it's a boy or girl, will have a purpose, but at the end of the day, they may not be chosen to either make an impact in this world. Okay? However, when the child is made out of love and consciousness, most likely 9 times out of 10, that child is going to grow up with their purpose and making a difference in the world. And that's for sure. So let me just go back for a second. I want men and women to understand this. When you come together and you procreate, or you create a child, the Most High decides the expiration date for each person's life. And this is the miracle in it, in itself, the power in it. Okay? So now, when it comes down to going back to women, okay, when it comes down to your self-image, especially you black women, you have to understand that, yes, you've been attacked. Yes, you've been cast to the side. Yes, you've been degraded so many times. And yes, we succumb to those sick ideals of bleaching the skin, having a sense of self-hatred. Yeah, by default, because of operant conditioning, being conditioned to be told we're ugly, we're not beautiful, we can't even appreciate the texture of our hair, you know, we can't even be comfortable. And this is not to say for the women that are already out there who can embrace who they are in its entirety, from the crown of your head, because your hair is a beautiful crown. When you're with your nice beautiful afro, you know, you rocking it, styling it, and you just being your authentic self. No, this may not apply to you. However, I know you may deal with some adversity to some degree, but this is mainly for the women, including myself to a degree, that battles or struggle with the fact of just being authentic 100%, being okay with being who you are. And not caring about what other people have to say about you. And what I mean by that, as in when you are authentic, as in you and your true nature, and you have nothing but respect for yourself, that is radiant. When you stand with royalty, it's radiant. Okay? It is radiant. Okay? So I feel like so-called black women need to love the fullness of their body, love the fullness of their lips, the fullness of their nose, or whatever features you have, love it in its entirety, because you were not made by mistake. You were not made by mistake. Okay? Find the beauty in imperfection. Find it. Okay? And a lot of times, women who don't seek healing, and you bottle up a lot of, you know, hatred, or you bottle up a lot of discord, and you allow yourself to be open to so many demonic forces and entities, you know, what happens is that you perpetuate the madness of not being on course, not being on your path, and not being able to appreciate the fact that you were a miracle. And you do have a purpose. And then to deny it, deliberately deny it because of self-hatred or whatever mental illness or development you have is no good at all, or have developed over time. I feel as though when it comes down to women specifically, that we know when something is not right. We know how much we could bear, especially the Most High is not going to give us no more than what we can bear. When we know that we have suffered from a traumatic event, I don't care if it's emotional, physical, it could be rape, molestation, it could be, you know, wife abuse, it could be anything. And when you don't take the time to actually recognize the pain, see the pain, and then go on a healing journey, a healing process, that pain could turn into something deadly, and it can literally turn into illness. Okay, your experience can turn into illness. It could turn into heart disease. It could turn into cancer. It could turn into so many things when you don't deal with the external things or things that you experience. If you don't process it or face the pain, especially you so-called black women that are out there, okay, as painful as it is, and I would say on a minute level, when it comes down to relationship breakups, your heart may be broken, and literally there's a condition called where a person's heart can actually really be broken. It is true, but on an emotional level, your heart could be broken to the point to where you feel that you invested so much time into the relationship, and then you feel a sense of betrayal, you feel all of these things, and you just can't understand why. You understand? Those questions, all of those questions come to you. You feel a sense of inadequacy, you feel so much, but guess what? You can conquer that. You can conquer that, because I'm an example of that. You know, going through that, and then just going through a separation process, and then an actual breakup, and then, you know, just my heart just feeling broken, you know. And I, you know, sometimes we like to sweep things under the rug. We like to ignore, turn a blind eye. But what happens when you actually turn back around and you face that pain? I don't like pain. I don't like pain, but guess what? I learned how to face it, because if you don't face it, you don't feel it in its intensity. How could you teach your daughters how to deal with heartbreak or pain when they experience it? You have to acknowledge the pain. You have to acknowledge the disunity. You have to acknowledge all of those things to know how you are going to take your next step moving forward. You have to. It's a struggle. It's not easy, you know, especially moving on and, you know, from relationships or whatever the case might be. But guess what? When you think that your situation is much worse, someone else have it. Someone have it much worse than you, like a woman, so-called black woman, or women who've been molested or raped. That's more detrimental than a heartbreak. That woman actually endured physical pain. And for her have to go back and to relive it, especially seeking out therapy or going through group therapy and then having to relive that over, it's painful. It's really painful. So thank God, or thank the Most High, I would say, that for the woman with the heartbreak, she could learn how to mend herself on her own. But what about the woman who experienced physical trauma? She needs someone. And for those women who've been raped unjustly, for those women who've been molested or whatever the case might be, you were supposed to get healing by either getting counseling, okay, counseling, therapy, or whatever the case might be to basically heal you and to basically get you through a rebirth process to get back to being who you are and being able to be strong enough to share your testimony or share your story with another sister to bring her through. And this is how the healing process will begin to speed up more and more and more, because guess what? It will kill the idea of a woman that's experienced traumatic situations, heartbreak, rape, or whatever the case might be, or betrayal, or whatever the situation might be. It may make the healing process much faster because they won't feel alone. Hell, I felt alone. I felt alone having to deal with my pain. Especially when you're a type of person where you see everything, you know everything that you've done, and you know, you see that in spite of everything that you've done, you might have to take a loss. Walking away from a person and a situation, you have to do those things in order to get a complete healing, especially when you know the person is no good for you. So yes, you know, sometimes it might require crying to purge what you're going through, and a lot of times it requires a lot of self-actualization to be real about yourself, realizing certain things, understanding where you went wrong. Because guess what? Even in relationships, you have to take some responsibility of it. You have to take responsibility of it, especially when you go into relationships and you get red flags and you don't pay attention to it. That's one. Two, when you say yes, when you really want to say no, you betraying yourself. So it's no good. And I know I've done it plenty of times. Ignoring red flags, saying yes when I wanted to say no, not paying so much attention to myself, but paying so much attention to the other party. Trust me, I've learned not to just get myself engulfed into unhealthy relationships, but I learned that in the long run that I want to have a healthy relationship, and I know what that looked like. Why? Because I've experienced the pain, and now I know what, you know, I will want going forward, and understand that relationships is about reciprocity, give and take, a balance. It's not about being one-sided when you're catering to one person. Okay, catering to one person. Lack of love for yourself, but loving the person, and you don't really have no love for yourself or ounce of love or care. It's not a healthy relationship. Okay, and then if you want to get on a different dimension and different level, when it comes down to personalities or just people having certain types of psychological issues, especially when you are empath, and then you're dealing with a narcissistic person, those relationships will never survive. It may survive in a conditional setting. But at the end of the day, when that empath wake up to the narcissistic tactics and the things that they've done, trust me, it's almost like having an angel against a devil. The Most High will make sure you get out of those situations. You know, but sometimes it could be detrimental when it's codependent, which makes it conditioned. Okay, so that's another topic in itself. I don't want to get too deep into that because, you know, having psychological issues go a long way. It goes a long way. But what I would say that when it comes back to destroying women, that's one way to destroy a woman, to say that she's, to highlight one group of women better than another. Like, who does that? Who gives a person the right to say that this white woman and her white hair, her white features is better than so-called black women or whatever the case might be? Who says that? You know, only a sadistic, schizophrenic person, as he described, would do something like that to keep a group of people down, especially so-called black women down, not having no self-worth, not having no self-value about themselves. But guess what? It's a new day and age, women. It's a new day and age. And you could take back your power. When someone try to take it away, you could take it back and reduce them down to nothing. They reduce you down to nothing. You can reduce them down to nothing simply by taking away your power. Your power. Knowing that you are beautiful in the inside out. I don't care if it may look disfigured. When you look inside the mirror, know that there's still beauty that resides in you. Know that there's purpose that still resides in you. Know that there's still love somewhere in your heart that still resides in you. Know it. Don't ever underestimate the power that you have in healing yourself. Don't ever underestimate it. Okay? So as I move along in this chapter, when you practice self-love, what I could recommend for, you know, the women that are listening on the show, what I could recommend is that you can listen to self-love affirmations, self-love binario beats, where you just listening to the sounds, like right now in the background. You could do these things to basically and practically heal yourself. Okay, like I said, we're in a new day and age. We have tools. We have resources that we can actually use. If we put our mind to actually healing ourselves, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Okay, so with that being said, the Natural Radio Show has come to an end. And I thank you all for listening to the Natural Radio Show. And please be advised that although my intentions was to go through this book in its entirety, however, I'm going to be going through, skipping through pages that I feel that is most significant about highlighting how the conspiracy to destroy black women by Michael Porter. So please be advised for my listeners who've been listening from day one when I started to do the book review. Okay, so thank you and have a good night.